Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed, I say it again, to be with you this morning. Thankful that God gave me another day. Did he have to? Absolutely not. But he did. And all I can say is I am grateful. I am grateful to be given another day with the Lord. I am grateful that he loved me enough to say, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, family. I pray that you all slept well, that as we say on the morning glory nation, no thieves broke in and no fires broke out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for that, and thank you, Morning Glory, for all that you are doing in the community. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God that I was worth saving because somebody didn't make it. Somebody didn't get another day. Somebody forgot to say thank you. And I just want to shout this morning, you know, God is good and he answers prayers. He answers the prayers of the righteous because he is our God and he stands before us in everything. He stands before us things. We don't have to stress and worry about where our next meal is coming from. Didn't the word tell us that he even feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers in the field? He is always there, watching over us, guiding us, leading us, helping us, that we don't have to worry or stress because God goes before us. Ooh, hallelujah. Can you say it with me? God goes before me. He goes before us. Why? Because he is God. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for going before me. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for having me in your heart and loving me more than I love myself. I'm grateful and thankful because I know that I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Let's get in our word this morning. God is always in control. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say? What title am I going to use? How am I going to do this? And he said, stand still and watch me work, is what he told me. But what he told me to give you was stand still and watch God work life. Stand still and watch God work in your life. Not me, but God. Hallelujah. And I had to say yes, because I watched God work in the life of my child. And I pray for his salvation, that he understands that he's one of the special ones, that God recognizes that he is his child, that God recognizes where he has brought him from and what he's going to bring him to. Because God will not bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. God will not give you the blessing unless he's going to show you how to keep it. Hallelujah. Blessed beyond measure and reminded by God that he's always there and that he will never leave me and that he will never forsake me. All I have to do is stand still, believe it, and know it. Are you believing and knowing today that God's got your back, that the battle is not yours, that it is God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this new day. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the understanding that all things come from you and that we have to learn how to be still, how to listen, how to know that you are in charge of everything. Enemy is going to come at us because that's what his job is. He makes us stronger in our faith to know that there is only one God, and that is you. One Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit who dwells with us, and they are one. Hallelujah. Lord God, as I was studying, I asked for a word, and you sent me to John chapter 17. And I thank you. And I just want to share it with everyone this morning as I pray, Lord God. You know, there are so many false teachers out there that are teaching a false word about who our Savior is and what he does and what he did. But mostly, who is he? Who is he? So Jesus told us who he was. He told us who he was to you. He told us who he was. And all I can say is, thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the love that he gave us in his coming. That he showed us that we don't have to be afraid or dismayed, that he is always there and that he cares about us. And when we go to John chapter 17 and we go down to verse 20, as your Son prays to us. And it says, Jesus prays for all believers. So, Lord God, as your Son prays for us this morning, he said, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. Father God, we thank you for your Son, who is one with you. Lord God, we lift up this word this morning, asking you, asking the one, and take control, Father God. We ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who is one with you and one with us, that you increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, Father God. You are my strength, Lord Jesus. You are my strength, Holy Spirit. But you are one. And I humbly ask to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your glory, to be a part of your place of residence when my time comes, but that I am a humble servant and I serve you today and every day, Lord. Let your light shine in me that when I speak the love of Jesus. I speak the glow of the Holy Spirit. I speak as one with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father God, let your spirit reign in me. Let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits. But Lord God, we know our time is limited, but we know we must stand still and allow you to work through us. Father God, work through me today. Let this word help somebody to know that you are always with them, that the battle is not ours, it is yours, and that you fight with us, you fight before us, and you stand behind us. Father God, I lift up the name of Jesus today, that those that do not know it will get to know it and call upon him in times of trouble. Call upon him in times of good, in times of bad, in times of ugly. Just call upon him every day, every moment, every day, every moment, every hour. He is interceding for us. So, Jesus, I thank you for coming into this awful, wicked world. I thank you for taking my sins upon the cross. I thank you for the blood that flows. Ooh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for the living water. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being who you are, my Savior. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I thank God this morning for the breath that is in my body. I thank God this morning for his love and his kindness, his grace and his mercy. And I thank God for this word that he has left us, that we may know that he is God and that he is always there standing with us. Stand still and watch God work in your life. Because he will show up, show out according to your faith. Hallelujah. Do you have faith this morning? Do you have faith that the battle is not yours but the Lord? That the enemy will come against you, but the Lord God will lift up a standard. I like to say he'll put you in that square and surrounded with barbed wire that the enemy can't get in. He's going to be electrocuted with that electric wire. You know how they wire it up? That's the Lord. He wires us around. He sets his angels to fight with us and for us. He is God. Be still and watch God work in your life. But again, you cannot be lazy either. God don't work for the lazy, because a man who does not work does not eat. You got to get up and do what you're supposed to do too. God will work, but you got to work too. Don't stand still. Well, I know God's going to do this. God's going to pay this bill. Not if you don't work. Not if you don't have some kind of income coming in. Yes, he will work miracles, but you can't be sitting by lazy. Don't pray, don't fast, don't go to church, don't do anything, but just say, well, I know that my mama's praying for me, and I know it's going to be all right. Mm-mm, you got to work, too. You can't get a job if you don't fill out an application. Yes, God will provide it for you, but you got to at least get up and go fill out the application. We got to do our part, too. And let's see what happens in our word this morning. Because Jehoshaphat didn't just say it. He did his part, but he trusted God. And God showed him the battle is not yours, but God. God was sent a prophet God will send someone. God will, if you hear somebody say something more than one time to you, that somebody tells you, well, you know, you need to do this. And then you mind your own business and somebody say, you know, you need to do this. Same thing that person number one told you. And then all of a sudden, somebody else will come and say, girl, you know, you need to do such and such. And you're like, okay, God, I got it. I need to do such and such. And then you need to do it. It's time to go to work. But also, it's time to be still and know that God is working for you. You just got to believe it. But you got to do your part, too. And God will show you what your part is in this production of our life. So let's get working. And the word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And I'm for all those that have the Bible we are using today, which is the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And again, I will say, I am not being paid by any ministry of Dr. Stanley to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, this is one of the best Bibles that you could ever purchase in your biblical arsenal. It is fantastic. It is a fantastic Bible. We have used it for the last year and a half, I believe. So this is our first year using it from January to December. We finished it in December, but we did a lot of reading extra to get to this point. But I like to say, Dr. Stanley, thank you so much for listening to the voice of God and writing this, the commentary for this Bible. The Bible itself is written. The Bible itself, we already know, but this particular daily Bible has been a godsend. And I know it was sent by God because I was praying and fasting for what Bible to use for this year and last year. And this Bible, I got it first part of last year, but I was in the middle of another Bible to finish up. And, you know, if you have been with us for a while, we have been chronological. We have come through the Hebrew-Greek Bible. We have come, this is our, now we're in the Charles Stanley Bible. I don't know, God may give me something else for next year, or he may give me this Bible again for next year. I don't know. I always just fast and pray, and God shows me what Bible he just kind of comes out of nowhere. God shows me what to use, because this is Bible study. Above everything else, moving forward is Bible study, so that you hear the word, you can read the word with me. God gives us life lessons that he has given Dr. Charles Stanley to share with us. And I tell you, they are right on point every time. And all I can say is, wow, God, thank you. So I thank Dr. Stanley, and I say again, if you do not have this Bible, you need to get it. You need to get this Life Principles Daily Bible. It's a daily Bible that will take you where you need to go. God will show you what you need to see. And so I thank you, and I thank him for allowing us to use this word. And so as we go, and like I said again, not being paid to do this, but I advertise this Bible because it is in my heart and God has told me to do so. Get this Bible. And if you have it, we are on page 846. And if you don't, we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 through chapter 20, verse 17. We are going to go to Psalms 82 with verses 1 through 8, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 29 through 30, and Acts chapter 17 this morning. And the word of God says, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, because we know he had just been with Ahab and watched him die and watched Ahab almost get him killed. And he wasn't supposed to go, but let's see what it says in the word. And it says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, to King Jehoshaphat, should you have helped the wicked and loved those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem. And he went out again along among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking a bribe. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren, you dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses, against law or commandment, against statutes or ordinance, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord, and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. Ooh, what a word. Chapter 20. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is Agudi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to stand with you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now hear, are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possessions, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now, all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jair, the son of Nathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Hallelujah. And I say this morning, family, whatever you're going through, whatever is coming at you, know that the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's, and he has got you. Stand still and know that he is God and that he loves you. And then the word of God tells us, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the accent of you, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Whatever your battle is, understand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and watch God work in your life. For the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. God loves us. He created us in his image. He gave us his son because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. But that does not come until you are saved. Ask God for salvation today. Ask Jesus Christ into your life today. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in his commentary in his life lesson. And he says, we don't have to worry about how to engage our conflicts because they all belong to God. And being his, they are already won. Whether our responsibility is to obey whatever he instructs us to do. Our responsibility is to obey what he instructs us to do. Always remember that every blessing and success comes from God. When you do that, it'll be easier to trust him to win your battle when you do what he tells you to do. What if God told you to do today? Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. With all thy heart, lean not into thy own understanding. We got to keep that proverb in our heart at all times. Because when we trust God, he fights for us. And all we have to do is stand still and know our salvation comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. 82nd Psalm, verses 1 through 8, a psalm of Asaph. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. And I'm sure there are many of us that feel that the wicked are getting away with everything and the just are suffering because of it. Don't get it twisted. They're not getting away with anything. Understand where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. And it goes on to tell us in this psalm in chapter verse 3, it says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the officials, afflicted and needy. Let me say that one more time. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Because there are folks that will say one thing, but their hearts are wicked and they do another. say they are against this or that, but then don't want to help anybody. Hoarding money like it's a lifeline, understanding it's going to be here when you're gone. And somebody else is going to take it and use it as you hoarded it and didn't help anybody but yourself. We're going to find out there's going to be a whole lot of folks standing in the midst of that fire, wondering how they got there. Let it not be any of us. Verse number 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are God's, those little Jews, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. The glory of young men is in their strength, and the splendor of old men is in their gray head. Hallelujah. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as he strikes the inner depths of the heart. Whew. And I say you, those blows for us. He took those stripes for us. He went to the cross for us. He bled and died for us. He was pierced in his side for us. Blows that hurt cleanses away evil, as you strike the inner depths of the heart. Our Savior did it for us. The blows and the stripes were for us. Are you ready to be saved today? Jesus died for us. Don't let anybody get it twisted. Oh, he was just a prophet. Oh, he was just a rabbi. Oh, he was just a good man. Oh, he was just a really awesome, you know, teacher. No, he was the Savior. He was the Son of God. He is sitting right now on the right side of his Father. And they are one judging us. Who do you think Moses saw? To my brothers and sisters out there, it was Jesus. No man has seen the face of the Father, but they have seen the Son. Even Moses, Abraham, Jacob, followed. Come on now. Who do you think Jesus is? He is the one. Because no one says to the Father, but they have encountered his Son. The faith of God. The body of God. The one who God opens the heavens for and said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Do we know him? If you don't, today is a good day to get to know Jesus. Whew, I'm filled up. Thank you, Lord. And as we get into our word in our New Testament, we are in Acts chapter 17. And we will be reading this morning verses 1 through 15. And it says this, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And again, for all my theologians out there, yes, there are words that I do not pronounce correctly. And I am working on it. I sure am. Every day, I'm working on pronunciation of certain things because my mouth just does not work that way, and I'm working with actually a therapist to try to get that tongue and the lips and all of these things working together and the breath and all of those things. So pray with me and pray for me. Hallelujah. And it says this. When there was a synagogue of the Jews, then Paul, as his custom went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Then immediately the brothers sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. They departed. But understand, God was fighting that battle, and there was folks coming to try to change stuff. But understand, change is hard. Change is hard. You used to doing this thing that way. You used to doing something else the same way. You used to whatever. Change is hard. But Paul, because understand, he was a Pharisee. He was learned. He wasn't a fisherman. He was a, if you want to call him in today's language, he was Pastor Paul. He was Reverend Paul. He was Dr. Paul. He was an educated person of the word of God. Stood and studied the scriptures. He understood and studied the laws of the prophets, the statutes, and the commandments. He understood and had learned all of these things. So Paul was educated. So he could speak to the Greeks because they also were educated. He could speak in the synagogue to the other Pharisees. He was able to speak to those that were learned because Jesus was going even further. He was opening his arms wide for all to come in. Whether Jew or Gentile, he was opening wide for everyone to come in. And he used Paul, who was really a Roman, to go out and speak to the Gentile. He was for the Gentile, a Jew, so he could speak the language of both. He was a bridge between the two. And there are always going to be folks that are going to hate you. There are always going to be folks that are haters, and they're going to talk about you, and they're going to say, well, you know, she mispronounced that the name of Amphiopolis. You know, she didn't say the name right for whomever, you know, Benaniah. She didn't say the name right for, you know, whomever the name should have been. And so we're not going to listen to the word because we're so busy concentrating on what was not said correctly, but not on the word that was said correctly. We got to study the word of God ourselves so we can be approved by God, meditating on it every day and night. Because this word is going to save your life one day. Because you got to be able to stand up because the enemy is coming. He is trying to come right now. He has his foot stuck in every nation, trying his best to knock every Christian off their square, trying his best to keep children who are the future from being saved, trying his best to tear up the church with false doctrine, lies, and deceit. Folks worried so much about money that they're not worried about the souls that should be saved. God has given us an edit when it comes to what we should do as Christians. Pay your tithe. That's it. Pay your tithe. Give to God with a humble and gracious heart. Don't begrudgingly pay your tithe because it's an obligation or a bill. Pay your tithe because you want God's kingdom to survive. Understand, no church can survive with a dollar unless that's your tip. But if that dollar is your tip, understand God's going to make that dollar go into thousands, maybe even millions, because it's your tip and it was given from your heart. Understand, what is it, the word of God told us about the woman with the two mites. Didn't have hardly nothing, but she gave her last to God. And he blessed us away. Don't begrudge God what belongs to God. But God did not tell you to buy a yacht for the pastor. God did not tell you to give your last dollar so the pastor could get an airplane. God didn't tell you that. God told you to pay your tithe, to take care of the house of God. And God takes care of everything else. But don't get fooled by the okey-doke when somebody tells you that they need a new Mercedes-Benz and they want you to give your last so that the pastor can drive a Mercedes-Benz. That's not a God. Or to buy a Ferrari. That's not a God. Your job and your assignment, pay your tithe. And if you have often, give extra, but not for frivolity. God wants his house taken care of. You buying a pastor a car and the church is falling apart and the bills ain't getting paid. The bills aren't getting paid. Our job is to make sure the house of God stands. Our tithes pay, and I'm telling you, what your tithes pay? Yes, they may pay a salary, but the pastor, which is deserved. You give a pastor a prophet's reward. You do that. You give what belongs to God to God. But you pay your tithes, and your tithes are going to pay up salaries for the pastors. Most pastors are not living off the church coffers. Most pastors have jobs. They write books. They do other things besides take from the church. And I tell you this because I am a board member. Pastors don't get paid. My pastor didn't get a salary for years because she would take whatever we would give her, small that it was sometimes, and put it back into the church because the bills needed to get paid. And I can say in our 11 years, there have not been one bill missed, not one, because we are faithful tithers. Light bill, water bill, gas bill. Lawns got to get mowed. All these things have to happen to take care of God's house. And I don't know where this is coming from, Lord. Okay. But we got to do what we have to do for God, because the battle's not ours. We got to stand still. No, he's God, but we got to do our part too. And what does this word say in Psalm 82 and 6? I said, you are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus quoted this verse and highlighted the staggering privilege of receiving the word of God. And if you want to find it, it is John 10 and 34. Let us treat the Bible as the great gift it is and daily feed upon it to honor the one who gave it to us. And this word gives us a blueprint to live by. And I thank you, Minister Shannon. You know, evangelist always says, he says, we got to have the basic instructions before leaving earth. And I use that on a regular, because we all have heard it when we were little kids. I heard it, too. But she says it all the time. We've got to have this basic instruction before leaving us, because this is not our home. We got to understand God created the universe. And why would we think we're the only thing that he created? And I know there's somebody who's going to get offended. I don't care. I read the word of God. And if he created the universe and he created in his own image us, why do we think this word is just for us? God has created many things and not just us. Remember that. So don't get all freaked out if somebody says, well, you know, there are aliens among us. We may be the ones that are the aliens, okay? All through the Word of God talks about aliens, don't it? And maybe what we are not getting is they were real. Come on now. You know, call me crazy. I don't care. But I just know that the Word of God has things in it, and sometimes we put our own interpretation to it and not look at it for what it is and what it says, and that what it says and what it is real. Acts 17 and 11. They received the word of all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans didn't take Paul's word for it about how the Old Testament scriptures prophesied and the ministry, suffering, and resurrection of Christ. They looked for themselves. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to read that one more time. The Bereans didn't take Paul's word for it about how the Old Testament scriptures prophesied the ministry, suffering, and resurrection of Christ. They looked for themselves, and God commended them for their diligence. Don't take what I say. Take what the Word of God says. God's Word is true. Study it yourself. Read it yourself. Don't just go to church on Sunday and only open this Word. Okay, I got my Bible. You know, I look good. My outfit's matching. I'm going to stand and I'm going to act all holy in church. And then once you finish with church, your Bible goes back in your car. And that's where it stays, and you don't have another one to read at home. And then come Sunday, you take out your Bible and you go in the church. But you don't open it up. Whatever the pastor preached on, do you go and look at it again? Do you go and study it yourself? Do you go and read it yourself? We should always study and read it ourselves so we get it and we understand it. God's word is true. It's true. It can be proven, every word. Everybody looking for something that's already there. The Word of God tells you everything you need to know. And the one thing we all have to know is sometimes we got to just be still and allow God to do what God does. Stand still and watch God work in your life. Be quiet and listen and watch God work. And as we go over to Second Chronicles, again, it says, I just got some life principles. So I would say, get a notebook, write these down. And this is from Dr. Stanley, and it fell right on point. And it says this, and I also have some scripture to give you in this part of the word. It says, life principles, if necessary, God will move heaven and earth to show us his will. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, it says, God always wants the best for us, and he is committed to showing us how to follow the specific plan he has designed for each of our lives. He wants us to listen for his voice, to hear what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. And you can find that in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 19 through 21. It says, when we begin to wander from the course God has set for us, he will take all kinds of measures to capture our attention and protect us from harm. Stand still and watch God work. He has a variety of ways to help us to take notice among them. The first one is, if you have a restless spirit, because sometimes God gets our attention by making us restless. Esther chapter 6. If you experience a restlessness deep within, something you cannot quite identify, then stop and pray, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? Each time God was about to move me from one pastorate to another, I became very restless. And that's Dr. Stanley. Chapter number 2, a spoken word. God always gets our attention by using the words of others. God gave a message both to young Samuel and to old priest Eli through this message in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 to 18. If several people in a short span of time begin telling you those same things, then ask the Lord if he is trying to speak to you through them. Oh, wow, I just said that earlier. Thank you, Lord. That was a confirmation. Number 3, an unusual blessing. God may bless us in an unusual way to gain our attention. Of course, if you are an overly self-sufficient person, the Lord may more likely use some other method to get your focus on him. But remember that no matter which method he uses to express his love. Number 4, unanswered prayer. Sometimes God will answer a prayer with no. Despite David's prayer for God to save his infant son's life, the child born through the king's adultery, the boy died. That was in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 18. The Lord may close the doors of heaven and refuse to answer our prayers as a way of forcing us to examine ourselves. Whew. Then that done that got the disappointed T-shirt because I needed it to get my attention. God did it, and I thank him for it. Disappointment. When the nation of Israel refused God's instruction to take possession of the promised land, God judged the people for their unbelief. They quickly changed their minds and said they now desire to enter the land. But the Lord said no. It was too late. Numbers 14. And what happened? They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't take the blessing when they had it. God got their attention through a tremendous sense of disappointment. In a similar way, God may allow setbacks to keep us from charting our own course. Woo! All of them are business, Dr. Stanley. Number 6, extraordinary circumstances. Sometimes God will use unusual circumstances to get us to stop and listen. Moses saw a flaming bush that then burned up. As he approached to investigate, the Lord spoke to him from the fire. Exodus chapter 3. You and I must learn to look for the presence of God in every circumstance of life. Excuse me. He leaves his footprints and handiwork all around us. Number 7, defeat. God may use defeat to show us the truth. Follow the Lord's stunning victory over Jericho. The Israelites approached a small town with overconfidence and neglected to fight in God's strength or with his guidance, Joshua 7. They went to Ai thinking they had it going on and got beat down. God got Joshua's attention by letting him fail miserably, but even a terrible defeat may prove to be the greatest stepping stone to success. when we ask, Lord, what are you saying? Financial trouble. In the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes, Judges 17 and 6, the nation fell into idolatry and disobedience. Does that sound familiar around the world going on right now? Folks doing stuff that they feel is right in their own eyes. I'm telling y'all, God is trying to get our attention. And idolatry and disobedience happening right now all over this planet. God brought judgment through the Midianites who devastated the land. And right now, let's call it straight. Fire, famine, disobedience, unrest, folks upset, folks going in every kind of tree, bigotry, idolatry. Ooh, let's come on. I don't even want to go there. Only when he took away every material belonging did they cry out to him. In Judges 6 and 6, God knew exactly what it would take to get their attention. When they did return to him, he delivered them from their oppressors and blessed them. We don't want God to have to take everything we have. All your finances, your houses, all your stuff. We've seen it happen many a time. But God will get your attention one way or the other. And this last one, tragedy, sickness, and affliction. We should regard our tragedies and afflictions as reasons to inquire of the Lord. What are you trying to say? When King Hezekiah became prophet, God used illness to alert him to the problem in 2 Chronicles 32 and 24. And similarly, when Saul of Tarsus persecuted Christians, God struck him with blindness, a tactic that certainly got his attention. God always knows exactly where you are in your journey of faith and precisely what it will take to get your attention. So stay alert. Notice if any of these divine methods are occurring, are reoccurring in your life. If they are, asking what he wants to tell you and then listen, not simply to hear, but to obey. And so again, a restless spirit, a spoken word, an unusual blessing, an unanswered prayer, disappointment, extraordinary circumstances, defeat, financial trouble, tragedy, sickness, and affliction are God's way of trying to get our attention. Watch as well as pray, family, because God wants us all to be the best we can be, but we need to be still and let God work. And our word for yesterday from Sister Carolyn was this, because it came a little bit after we had finished the show, was don't confuse your mistakes as your value as a person. Put your trust in God. He doesn't make mistakes. And for this morning, if God can bring you to it, hallelujah, he will take you through it. He has you. Again, family, just stand still and watch God work in your life. He loves you, he cares about you, and he wants the best for you. And I say to you as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And those that can stay a little bit after 8, I just want to go with our prayer for today. And then it's a wrap. And our prayer for this morning, on this 12th day of July, is this. Beloved child, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Song of Solomon 4 and 7, ESV. Loving Father, your incredible love welcomes me like a bear hug. Your warm presence is the most hospitable atmosphere I've ever known. As a dearly loved child, I can freely come and go as I please. That is almost too good to be true. Thank you for your love that delights in me just as I am. As I soak in your attention, receiving the affection you freely give, I feel joy bubbling over the brim of my heart. You are extraordinary, Lord. I'm running out of words to describe your goodness. You are the light that brings warmth to every living thing. We grow in the brightness of your great favor. Secure me in my identity as your child so I go out into the world and know kindness around like confetti and throw kindness around like confetti, brightening the day of those who encounter it. Let my confidence grow each day as I soak in the oil of your love that draws out all impurities. And the word for this prayer this morning is this: what does it mean for you to know that you are a child of the King? And that is our word this morning. Have a blessed day, family. It is officially a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Work for God today. Ask the Lord, what must I do to help you? Help me be a better me. Stand still and watch God work in your life. And then go to work and do what God tells you to do. Listen, listen, and listen some more. For the voice of God will speak to you. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.